Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, teaching men to love their wives, on today's edition of Return to the Word. Actually, Dr. Ed Bulkley is away from us today, and I forgot to mention that in my introduction, that Pastor Ed and his wife Marlo are away in Massachusetts, of course, at the funeral of Marlo's father. And Pastor Bonner went to be with the Lord early Monday morning. So we know we appreciate your prayers that have been with him, and we just appreciate so much the godly life that he lived. My name is Alden Laird. I'm substituting for Pastor Ed while he's away, and again today in our radio studio, we have Steen and Cindy Ronlove, and today we're going to be talking kind of a follow-up to yesterday when we talked about counseling, teaching couples how to counsel couples. And today we're going to be talking about teaching men to love their wives, and then tomorrow we'll be talking about teaching women to love their husbands. So these three really kind of go together. Before we talk about that, I wanted to mention about our Summer Fest that's coming up here for those of you who are in the Denver metro area. We're really excited about this. It's coming up this Saturday, and that's the 18th of August. And last year we had somewhere between 5,000 to 6,000 people that came on the property, and it was just a wonderful time, just some great fun things for the kids. We have a creation evolution booth, some wonderful music. Just a great time. The kids have a little petting zoo with some animals, and it's a great way for us to reach out to our neighborhood because, you know, we live in a day and age in which people are suspicious of churches, and so part of our goal here is for them to become familiar with who we are. We give them free food, but as they pass out, we're not ashamed of the gospel either. We pass out to every single person a gospel tract, and it's a great opportunity for us to introduce them to the church. And we hope if you're living anywhere close by that you'll come and join us this Saturday from 10 to 5. And we're praying for good weather this year. And yes, so far it looks good from the forecast, but we know that the God above is a sovereign God and does what pleases him. So, amen. But we'd appreciate your prayers in that behalf. Well, again, it's a delight to Steen to have you and Cindy with us. And Cindy works here in our counseling ministry and, of course, does our call screening day after day with Return to the Word. And Steen also does a great deal of counseling with Cindy as well, and we appreciate their work so much. Steen, I guess I got to start with the very first question before we go to break. And what prompted you to do a lecture on teaching men to love their wives? And, of course, I'm referring to the International Association of Biblical Counselors conference that we had here in early August, and you did a lecture on this. What prompted you to do that?
Well, Cindy came home one day from work
and said, "You have to."
And she said, "We would like you to do a lecture on teaching men to love their wives." And I said, "Oh," and I had never done a lecture for IABC before. I think last year you asked me, and I wasn't moved to do so. Sorry, but. You know, this year I guess I prayed about it and gave it a lot of thought, and I really, you know, from all the couples of counseling we see so often, love is what's missing in the on the husband's side, and I thought, you know, this is probably a message that needs to be heard, so I said yes.
All right, and how did that workshop go? Did you learn something in the preparation?
As usual, I learn the most when I'm teaching because you have to spend so much time in preparation. Yeah, I probably prepared for this lecture longer than any lecture I've ever prepared for, and it was a delight doing and preparing for, and it was good. We had a pretty good group of men come into the class, and seemed like there was some good interest. So hopefully they learned how to teach other men to do
Steen, I think that's one of the great opportunities we have in teaching. I've often said that when you teach, you learn three times because there's the preparation and there's the delivery. And because you've done the delivery, then you remember it more. So we remember that principle. So this is your opportunity. This is your fourth time to learn today.
Maybe I'll get it right.
That's right. But when we come back, we're really anxious to have Steen take us through some of the principles on teaching men to love their wives. So we hope you'll call a friend, invite them to tune in today to Return to the Word. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Return to the Word. Today we're talking about teaching men to love their wives. My name is Alden Laird, substituting for Pastor Ed, who's away at Marlo's father's funeral in Massachusetts. And here at the microphones with me today is Steen and Cindy Ronlove. And again, Steen, thank you for coming in. And I wanted to ask you, obviously there's problems in marriages today with men not loving their wives. What are they?
Well, first of all, I think that so many of the marital problems that that come about stem from the very fact that husbands don't either aren't willing to put the effort forth to love their wives, or don't even know how, and it causes discontentment with mm-hmm. their wives. It causes frustration in the home, frustration with the children. You want to see happy children. You just watch how they react when a husband goes over and hugs his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And especially little kids, it's almost like they start purring like a mm-hmm. cat. It's a mm-hmm. wonderful sight. And the home is in turmoil. It's not a home of peace and contentment. So there's many problems stemming from a lack of love in the home. And
yeah, and I guess you know we recognize that this is an obvious problem, but the question comes to me is why wouldn't a husband want to love his wife? I mean, you'd think that we've pledged, we've made vows for a lifetime to love our wives, and Scripture says to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So we certainly have all the Scripture behind us telling. But what are the things that kind of work against us loving our wives?
Well, I think self is such a big aspect. The man loves himself too much. He may be expecting the wife to be the one that gives instead of him being the giver. You know, that very passage was one that I used in the lecture, that Christ so loved the church that he gave love. The love that we're to give our wives is an agapeo love. It's the same mm-hmm. word that he uses when he talks about Christ loving the church. It's the same word for love. And that love is a self-sacrificing, giving love. And mm-hmm. and men, and I think all of us sometimes get into a marriage thinking that I'm going to get. And so I think it's not taught to a husband. I think it's one of the things that when Cindy and I do premarital counseling, we stress so much that the husband is to be the giver. And so a lot of times they just don't know they're supposed to be loving their wives. And a lot of husbands don't even know how.
Or I wonder if another problem is they assume the things that they do, that they're just automatic. You know, the husband says, you know, hey, I go to work every day. What more do you want? That I help put food on the table and I take care of the vehicles and so forth. And I think they assume that's really, that maybe that's what their model was. The father went away and they grew up with a father who never consciously thought about doing more to specifically love his wife, helping around the house and those kind of things. His job was done.
Yeah, we think that the responsibilities of a family are sufficient to show love towards a wife, and that's certainly not the case. That would be like saying, well, God gave us life, and he gave us all the things that we need for food and oxygen and warmth, mm-hmm. And so therefore he's given us enough, but he didn't think that was enough. He gave his life, mm. And so if that's not enough, then we need, that's our example.
Cindy, I wanted to ask you, though, isn't the balance there, though, that I guess I've seen sometimes in coupling, in counseling couples, that sometimes the wife doesn't see the fact that when the husband does put in that eight to 9 hours of work a day, and he's been very faithful doing that year after year, that should be viewed as love. I guess the extreme side I see is that the husband is only loving his wife when he's taking her out to dinner, and he's only loving his wife when he takes her on a date. Those are all important, but have you seen that too, where the women forget that portion of it?
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's because we have a distorted view of what love really is, mm-hmm. because when we look through the 1 Corinthians 13 passage, which of all of us is known as the love passage, we see that it says love is patient, love is kind, does not boast, it is not proud, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And we've got a mm-hmm. list of attributes there that are action words, and going to work being the provider is very important, mm-hmm. and it is an act of love. I think sometimes that the woman doesn't praise the man enough for doing that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, and if the woman would do that, then the man would be even more willing to want to go out for dinner and to want to do other things with the wife. But so many women are continually telling the husband what they're doing is not enough.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point.
I was going to say my focus on my lecture, too, is not on dating your wife. Hmm. It truly is on your behavior towards her. And so in a little bit, I want to go get into that, into the very mm-hmm. act of not just taking her to dinner, not just buying her things, but the way you treat her in mm-hmm. in your personal relationship.
I know, Cindy, this jumps in a little bit to what we'll talk about tomorrow, but doing a PS on what we just talked about, the wife sometimes not viewing what the husband does as really loving. Sometimes we as men, just as we're negligent and not realizing when the wife, let's say if she works during the day outside the home and comes home and feeds the family and does the washing and so forth, that the husband needs to praise the wife for that. Sometimes I've seen where women are not thankful for the mechanical things that the husband does, because in most households, the husband is probably most often responsible for taking care of the vehicles. And that's all a part of the responsibility. It sometimes goes unnoticed.
It absolutely does. And I think that what happens is they become expected. These are expectations that mm-hmm. I have of you, and you are supposed to do this. And then what happens is when they're not done, that's when the woman becomes a nag. Or when they are done, it's just expected, and so therefore there's no praise given for them. And we become weary in our our life when somebody doesn't, you know, praise you sometimes just for the things that you're doing for them, or acknowledging you for what a good job you're doing at those simple things.
Well, it's one of the verses that I had, and it's one of the acts that towards your wife that I have in there, and you guys brought it up, so I'll read it. In Proverbs 31:28, it says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her, also blesses her and praises her." So we really have the Word of God telling us that we are to praise our wives. Mm-hmm. And praise is something that all of us respond well to.
I think it was Mark Twain who said, "I can go a full month on a good compliment."
Absolutely. I love that. I love that, Pat. You've quoted that before, and I love that because it is so true. That's not somebody being prideful. Mm-hmm. It's not somebody that is looking for acceptance for themselves. It's just acknowledging that other person is doing a good job mm-hmm. serving the Lord in the mm-hmm. way that they're supposed to.
Appreciation.
Well, Steen, why is it that, men say, okay, I can take care of the cars, I go to work, but there's these other aspects. Why does a man typically have such a difficult time showing his love to his wife?
Well, again, I think you do get busy in your work and in everything you're doing. You also, like you guys said, that they think they're doing it in by fulfilling their duties, and so they get too busy. And I think they also sometimes think that it's a weakness. It shows weakness, and they want to be manly, and be a macho kind of guy. I think a lot of times it's nothing more than laziness, because it takes an effort to love someone, and it's thoughtlessness. They're just not being thoughtful of the person they're living with.
And again, there's the old stereotype, hey, this is the responsibility of the wife, and she's prepared a meal, and she has other responsibilities for the evening, and just not thinking about the little ways. Sue does such a great job at the dinner table, just preparing such delicious meals. And I wish I did this more often, but the times where I'm saying, why don't you take a little break, let me clear the dinner table, you can tell, even though my effort is a tenth at the most as to what hers is, it means something, because it's expressing that I'm thinking about her. And is that part of the problem, that we as men, we'd be willing to do it, but we don't think about it even?
It's thoughtless. Yeah, we're thoughtless. I shared a story. I knew a young man who was just married, and his wife served the first meal. Now, the wife had grown up where they had a cook, and so she knew she could barely boil water. So she makes him a steak, thinking, what can you do to a steak, right? The steak is very tough. You need a very sharp steak knife to cut it. Well, the man eats the steak, every bite of it, and compliments her on what a delicious dinner she had prepared. That woman ended up being a gourmet cook because she learned to like to cook because it got her praise.
Yeah, and so oftentimes we don't think about and it's not lying about it, but it's learning to be creative. If it's not the best meal, sometimes we can say, you know, I just appreciate the effort. What a wonderful thing it is not to have to go by and pick up fast food and to think that you took the time this afternoon to prepare for it, especially as you worked all day.
Exactly.
And it's sometimes looking at only the short term rather than looking at the outcome of the long term.
Exactly.
That's right. When we come back, I want to ask you the question, Steen, is that what are some of the ways in which women or men make their wives feel unloved? So we'll do that when we come back here at Return to the Word in just 2 minutes. Welcome back. Return to the Word. Today we're talking about teaching men to love their wives. My name is Alden Laird, and my guests are Steen and Cindy Ronlove. Steen, I've got to have you go back and tell the story of when you were preparing for this lecture, the little exchange you had with Cindy, because I think it is a good example of how sometimes we just get caught in the process of not of not thinking.
That's what happens when we tell Alden a story. He makes me do
that's
it
right.
to the world.
To the world. Well. You have to know my wife. She prepares a lot for lectures. She was doing 4 lectures at the IABC, and I was doing 2. We were doing one of those 2 was together. And so she was dominating the computer at home, which is okay. I'm used to that.
I talked about we'll do a counseling course on teaching women not to dominate computers. and being nice about it.
Yeah.
that's going to be the tougher subject.
So anyway, I have a moment on the computer working on my lecture about teaching men to love their wives, and Cindy calls from outside, and she's out working on some flowers, and she says, "Steen, I need some help. Can you come help me?" And I go, "I can't come right now. I've finally got on the computer. If you want me to do this lecture, then just let me do it." Well, so I'm sitting there, and my mind went totally blank. I sit there for 3 minutes looking at the computer screen, and, of course, the Holy Spirit has now ceased communicating with me because of my communications with my wife. So I humbly walk out to her and apologize for my voice and said, "Okay, what do you need done?"
Yeah, what he really said was, "You know what? I can't work on a lecture that's titled Teaching Men to Love Their Husbands when I'm not showing love to, I mean, wives, when I'm not showing my love to you." And I thought, oh.
Yeah, and you know, that is the other blessing. And James 3:1 says, be careful for anyone to be presumed to become a teacher because you'll incur a stricter judgment. But you know, as I think about it, that's a great blessing because we realize we have to be so careful to follow through. And wasn't it wonderful to see how God and the Holy Spirit worked through your conscience there? And I guess it brings me to the point, really on the question here, what are some ways that men make their wives feel unloved? I think one of them is, and you and I could probably think of a dozen examples where we do that, where we get so focused on something and we're so project-oriented that we tend to forget that passage. Look not only your own interests, but look to the interests of others that are found in Philippians chapter 2.
Absolutely. And, well, there's a lot of things that we do. Jealousy is a big problem sometimes. When you're being jealous of your wife, what you're really telling her is, "I don't trust you. I think that you're more interested in someone else. It could be children. You can be jealous because of the wife is giving attention to your children. It could be she's just friendly and she's talking to another man, and he can be jealous. That is a big sign to her that says, "You don't trust me. You don't believe that I love you. You're not loving me." And so that's a big one. And thinking or telling her, you know, "You can't do anything right," or, you know, "Why don't you do this right?" Or always making complaints about whatever she does. It could always be better. Of course, all of us, everything we do can always be better. That's, of course, except for Cindy. But
Well, that's earning several brownie points, and that's important for you, Sting. Go right ahead. What are some other ways that that men
harsh language, harsh language, and your tone of voice? That's we're so good at that, men. And sarcasm. I mean, I know that we all are sarcastic once in a while, and it can be done in humor and in good taste. But in a marriage, I think sarcasm needs to be used very, very little. I like the verse in Proverbs 26:18-19. It says, "Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" Sarcasm is not a joke. It's a hurtful way of communications.
And really, about the only time that it is appropriate is when it's a lighter moment. We know our wife is on the same page.
Absolutely.
And we know that the joking, the bit of sarcasm is going to lift their spirits.
Yes.
I think that's a key thing that we ought to be asking is, what will this do? Is it, am I really doing this out of irritation? Or there could be some times where I've seen, I think Pastor Ed is just excellent at this with the staff of taking a situation and putting just a bit of humor into it.
Yes.
that helps us lift it and say, you know what, hey, let's come in from a little different angle here and
exactly.
Help us see the real world.
Another thing I see in men so often is belittling their wives in public, making them a brunt of the joke, that's very demeaning and certainly not loving. And another way is bossing them around. Go do this, especially in public. It's like, I'm going to show that I have control of my wife. And so that's another way that doesn't say I love you.
It really doesn't demonstrate the whole principle of Ephesians 5 is for the husband to be a servant leader. He is to be a leader.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. But he's to be a servant and do it in a loving way, just as the Lord Jesus did for
us.
Exactly. Well, how would you answer this question? What happens in the relationship when the husband does not demonstrate love toward his wife? What's the typical result then?
Communication breakdown is probably the number one thing. You quit communicating when you're not feeling loved, and then when you quit communicating, then you the relationship goes down. It's just like your relationship with the Lord. If you're not in his word and he's communicating to you through that, and if you're not in prayer and you're communicating to him through your prayers, well, your relationship breaks up. It's difficult to have a friend that you never talk to and communicate with. Your best friends are those that you spend time with and communicate with. So that breaks down. And we're to be one. It says the two will be one. And we're to be one in mind, heart, and spirit. When a husband is treating his wife in those ways that I just mentioned, that the two are not one. They're not one in mind. They're not one in heart and spirit. There's a big, great divide. You also end up with a quarreling relationship or a fighting relationship, and you get angry children, and they disagree about everything. You can't come together. One wants to do one thing, the other wants to do something else, and instead of the two working out a compromise, they'll butt heads until there's a quarrel and no one's speaking again.
Here's a question I have for you. What do you do, though, Steen, in a situation where, let's say, the wife is really, she's having a low time. It's and let's say it's more than just a 30 minutes of kind of a low or depression type of circumstance that she's feeling. And you, as the husband, say, you know what? I need to do something to pull her out of it. That it seems to me like there's a danger of not doing anything to lead her out of it. On the other hand, is responding with irritation. How do you teach a man to love his wife when she's going through a low time? Maybe it's that special time of the month. How do you help her?
Well, that's a good question. Well, what I do with Cindy is I usually will go over and give her a hug and hold her. And sometimes she doesn't want to be hugged even. So kind of lean away, and I just hang on. I says, "No, you got to stay right here for a little bit." Tell her I love her. I mean those few words, you know, I love you. Those three words are important. I mean that's just our vocabulary includes that. Just about every time we see each other, say goodbye to each other, talk about anything, it's the expression of our feelings. But you know, is there something I can do? Do you want to talk about it? And don't, husbands want to fix them. Tell me your problem. Mm. I'm going to give you a solution. See, they want to be understood. And so you need to listen. Say, okay, what's going on? Is it something at work? Did I do something? Because we always think we did something. So then listen to what she tells you and go, oh, yeah, and be understanding. Mm-hmm. And if there is advice to give that's pertinent, give it. But otherwise, be understanding is the most important.
To be pretty careful and to demonstrate that even during those low times, that she's being cherished.
Yes.
That, you know, someone has said that sometimes it's more important to understand than to give counsel.
Absolutely.
And I think, as Ecclesiastes says, the wise man will know the proper time and procedure. There's just some times to listen.
That's right.
We're just about out of time here with our Denver audience, and we're sorry that you have to depart at the half past the hour, but we're glad that you've joined us today, and you can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD entitled Teaching Men to Love Their Wives by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. It's time for you to get in line and call us here at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. We'll look forward to your call. Here in Denver, our number is 303-451-LIFE. Today on Return to the Word, we're talking about teaching men to love their wives, and you can join in our discussion by calling us in the Denver metro region at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. And anywhere else in the country, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. My name is Alden Laird, substituting for Pastor Ed, who's away this week at his wife's father's funeral. And so we ask you to continue praying. My guests are Steen and Cindy Ronlow. Cindy, I had asked Steen the question as to what happens when a husband does not demonstrate his love toward his wife. What are the and Steen kind of talked about some of the things that he tries to do to encourage you. What does he do that really helps you when you're struggling?
Well, the most important thing is that he lets me know that he loves me even when I've done something wrong, if it would have been something that I have done wrong, just like we do our children. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that when I'm really down and out, I think that when he lets me know that God loves me, and he does that through washing me with the Word of God and bringing me to passages that do encourage and that really do help, because that's really what does lift our spirits mm-hmm. and gives us that joy back, is knowing how much the Lord loves us.
The husband is the head of the family and head of the home, and if he's going to be that, he's also the spiritual head. And that was one of the things I really stressed in the lecture, the Ephesians 5:26-28 passage, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant uh-huh. church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And he says, in the same way, husbands, in the same way, washing her in the word, ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And so you have to, the devotional part of the family usually falls on the woman's responsibility. Mm-hmm. The man does it, allows it, and he shouldn't. Mm-hmm. He should take charge of that, and that shows great love.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Let's go to the phone lines here. We've got Steve. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Appreciate your program. We just had a question, and I'll hang up to most of your comments here. I meet a lot of men today that have dealt with and been into pornography, and just a real tough time. And of course, that affects the family, affects your relationship to their wives, their kids, etc. Mm-hmm. What's a good thing for a husband to do today after he's come out of that? How can he show his wife that he does love her? And especially since he's fabricated a lot of things, he's been mm-hmm. living a lie, and there's so many issues at hand. So I appreciate your comments, and I'll hang mm-hmm. up and listen. Thank you.
Well, Steve, that's a great question, and thank you for that call. One of the first things that comes to my mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8-13, that talk about what true repentance looks like. And I think one of the things that discourages a wife so much, not only in the area of the husband having a problem with pornography, but in almost any other area, is when he appears to be sincere, and then the problem is just frequented over and over again. And verses 8 to 13 really talk about what true repentance looks like. The sorrow has led to true repentance. It says what eagerness to clear yourself, and it says in every way you've proven yourself innocent in the matter. So though the husband might ask the wife to forgive him, he needs to realize that now there's a problem with trust, and trust is not easily regained. Certainly as we're admonished to forgive one another. And so I think he needs to recognize that he's broken some trust there, and he needs to humbly come back. It's not just a one-day thing. Well, what's the problem here? I ask her for forgiveness. What's her problem here? But if he comes back humbly and says, you know, I can't believe I've done that. I've asked God to continue to humble me. He's obviously extremely careful that he doesn't go back into that issue again. He sets up accountability. And what I've experienced is, if a husband is very sincere and sets up a strict kind of accountability, and those issues become become issues in the past, in the far majority of the cases, the wife is willing to forgive. Cindy?
Another thing is, if the man does not put up his defenses when the woman really does have a question and is concerned that he might be falling back into it, he needs to make himself soft and open to the woman, so that when she says, you know, I have a concern, you know, here you're spending more time on the computer, or, you know, you're alone in this place and there is a computer, can we do something to help you not be tempted in that area again, that he really needs to heed that advice from his wife. And and when he will listen, rather than say, I can't believe you don't trust me, she's basically trying to learn to trust again, and he needs to make that space for her.
I was going to say also, don't be defensive when she approaches you. Assume the trust is such a difficult thing. But the other thing is that pornography generally will lead to disrespect for a woman. Mm-hmm. And so there's a behavior pattern that's probably developed towards his wife, and he needs to change that. And when he changes that behavior pattern and starts showing respect towards his wife, then she will start believing that he's not doing it again.
And also, the woman a lot of times feels as though she's being compared to the airbrushing of Hollywood, which is something that is perfect that she cannot truly live up to. And so the man needs to realize that too, that this is a human being, it's imperfect, and so that comparison really needs not to be there.
And you know, those of us who are biblical counselors, this is one place where I think it's really justified in the counseling session to be stern with the husband. I will look at him and say, you know what? I will not tolerate if it comes back and I hear that your wife is still struggling with some issues on trust and you're starting to get irritated about that. Mm-hmm. I said, because here's why. I said, because trust does take time. And so part of your humility is to recognize that part of the struggle here is her own struggle that has come because of your own sin. And exactly. For you to have gone into a very flagrant type of sin, and I think it is flagrant.
Absolutely.
Because it's really a breach of the trust in that relationship. And very often I'll say, this is a part you just need to know, I'm not going to be very tolerant of that kind of attitude. I mean, obviously I have to be careful about my demeanor, but I think there's a place for sternness
there
in
is.
Counseling,
absolutely.
And I think this is one of them.
Absolutely.
And also I believe that if the man really does want to change, he will want to be held accountable, and he will not become defensive, and he will understand the grievousness of that sin and what it caused in the family, and he'll do anything to change.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the things that I've seen is that to tell the husband is, you know, the next time you have a problem, will you make a commitment that you're going to go to your wife first? Mm-hmm. And if your wife is out of town, that you're going to call me before you have the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the same way you handle a person who's struggling with alcohol.
Yes.
That you start working on the accountability before the fact rather than after the fact. Well, there's still time for you to call us. We'd ask you to give us a call here at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And here in Denver, you can call us at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD entitled Teaching Men to Love Their Wives by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And you can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. Again, my name is Alden Laird, substituting for Pastor Ed, and my guest today are Steen and Cindy Ronlove. I wanted to suggest an excellent book, The Exemplary Husband, A Biblical Perspective by Dr. Stuart Scott. The foreword is by John MacArthur, about 325 pages, and it's just loaded with, first of all, the foundational truths for the exemplary husband, then part two, a husband's responsibility and his faithful commitments, and then part three, a husband's resolves, the fundamental skills, humility, service, understanding, helping his wife deal with her sin. That's quite an interesting subject. Mm-hmm. Part four, a husband's regrets, fatal sins to the exemplary husband, just as we were talking here about pornography. And when all is said and done, an excellent Bible study and readable book. Another wonderful book is The Complete Husband by Lou Priola. And if you want to order just The Exemplary Husband by itself, by Dr. Stuart Scott, that's for a gift of $20 or more to Return to the Word. The Complete Husband by Lou Priola is $15. So that's, let's see, if I add that up, I think that's $35. And if you want to order both those from Return to the Word, you can get that for a gift of $32 or more to Return to the Word. There's still time for you to get in line to call us here at 1-888-GOD-WORD. God's Word. Let's get that right. All right. So, you know, I want to ask you, what happens in the marriage relationship when the husband really does give his wife the Christ-like love that we're commanded to do in Ephesians 5?
Well, that's a great question. Well, number one, I think you end up with a contented wife. What a wonderful thing to have a wife who's content. And then you have peace in the home. The home should be a place of refuge. When you come home, you should open up the door and say, I'm home at last. Hmm. You know, away from the world and the troubles, and that should be a place of peace and refuge. Your wife ends up supporting you. She gives you great support for all the things that you're doing. You know, you end up with many fewer arguments about what it is you want to do by just giving of yourself to her. You get great respect from your wife. That's one of the commands for the women, is to respect their husbands. But we're to work at respect. I think it's one of the things that we don't do enough, is work towards earning the respect of our wives, and mm-hmm. and you have a happy marriage. Bottom line,
mm-hmm. and it's not that there's no exceptions. What about the guy that that comes in and says, "Pastor, I've done all that. Now what I do? I'm really trying to show respect." And I guess part of the question there, are there exceptions? Is it possible to love your wife as Christ loved the church, and she really doesn't respond?
Well, I think you'll find it is when you're trying to wash her in the Word, she's not paying attention. I think if you can get her in the Word of God, and you can be both on the same page, having the same spirit, it's hard not to be going down the same road if you're both growing in the Lord. And I think that's what you find is a woman that's walking away from the Lord. And then, you know, we can't be their Holy Spirit. We have a job to do. And no matter what she does, we are to love them. It's not our responsibility to make them the perfect wife. Mm. It's our responsibility to love them.
And I think we can generally say that the far vast majority of time that when a husband is truly loving to his wife, his wife responds in part. But just as we see in the Scripture, because of our evil hearts, when God, the loving God, brought Adam and Eve into the garden, even without a sin nature, they chose to rebel. Yeah. And so one of the things I will tell a husband whose wife is going astray is your job is to do everything you can, be that loving husband. It's not your job to make her be that loving wife. Cindy?
I think the love for the Lord has to be there. And
okay, I don't think we have the microphone on Cindy there, in case we're not getting there. And basically I think what Cindy was saying, that there has to be that love relationship for the Lord coming from the wife, and we wouldn't want to suggest if the husband does it, it's automatic the wife will do it as well. She still has a responsibility before God. Well, Steen, I want to ask you, if a man does not show love, is it, on the other hand, is it the wife's responsibility to make him be this loving husband?
That's kind of a reverse of the submission question, you know, when we are so good at trying to force our wives to submit to us, and we can do it because we're stronger. Sometimes we can do it. I should say that if we want to be brutish about it, we're stronger and we can dominate. So it's the same thing. So if a man is not showing love to his wife, no, it's not the wife's responsibility to force him to love her. You can't force someone to love you. It's her responsibility to do what God's word says, and that's to love her, like the First Peter passage says, and that's talking about a brotherly love, by the way, not the agapeo love. It's also to respect him, to continue to show respect and honor to her husband. That's her job.
Mm-hmm. What do you do, Cindy, if you're counseling a woman and the husband's really not showing love? What do you say to her?
Well, I try to encourage her that the Lord is her husband when the husband is not fulfilling his responsibility. But I also encourage her that she needs to make sure that she has a clear conscience before God, that she is doing everything that she needs to do, even though she's not getting what her husband is supposed to do, which is to love her. And another thing is I always tell her to remember to be kind, loving, gentle. And a lot of times we see a lot of men come along and begin to love because of the attitude that she has towards him.
Well, I want to, Steen, give you an opportunity to take some time to kind of summarize. I know you did this lecture for us at our IABC conference here in early August on teaching men to love their wives. What are some of the principles you summarized in that lecture?
Okay, I did want to mention that in the lecture I used some 40 verses out of the Bible to back up all of the things that I taught. So we on the air, of course, we couldn't read all those. It would take most of our time, but I think you can find every single thing that I'm used in my summary in the Bible. And if you're not sure, get my lecture, buy it. But anyway, so to summary, I think you want to have that confidence. Show her that you have the confidence in her. You want to show her that you're not jealous. Show that you trust her. You want to encourage her to study and understand God's word. You want to pour blessings out on her. That's your job. That's loving her. Just like the Lord pours out blessings on those he loves. You want to praise her at every opportunity, not to build up her ego, but to build up her confidence and her knowing that she is loved by you. You definitely want to watch the tone of your voice, especially when you need to confront her. There are times that you need to confront you need to confront in love and with God's word, not with what you think she ought to be doing, but with what God's word tells her she ought to be doing. Don't be sarcastic. Build her up. Don't tear her down. Be the head of the home. I said in my lecture that every man should take a course on Christ-like leadership and how Christ led. He led by being a servant.
We have just a couple minutes here. Let's take Shirley. Are you there, Shirley? Go right ahead.
Yes, I am. I'm going through a hard time right now where my husband has left me, and he did serve me with divorce papers.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But I love him so much that I just want to continue to be that godly wife. It's just that he's turned God off right now, and me. And I have been turning to God, and is there
Could you repeat the question? We had a little blackout there, and Shirley, I heard everything except your very last question.
What can I do for that? I mean, I just keep praying and praying for him, and I want to be the submissive wife, and I have caused problems, but I want to show him I have changed and that I am a godly woman.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, go ahead.
Well, you know, Shirley, a lot of times we do make mistakes in our marriages, and it does drive another one away rather than bring that other person into a place where they're truly helping us to change. And what you have said, prayer is number one. Number two is maybe if you could ask him, and if you, he won't listen to you in words, write out a letter to him asking him specifically what areas you do need to change in that would bring him back. And then you need to be willing to compare those with God's word and change in those areas. But it does take two people to make a marriage work. And if he's not willing to work in it, a lot of times there isn't anything that the other person can really do.
And the whole principle, Shirley, of taking the log out of your own eye, sometimes that's very difficult to want to do that when you feel so betrayed and the one of the spouses left you. But that's where Titus 2 says, let the older women teach the younger women. And I would suggest to go to a godly woman in your church, lay out before her very carefully the strengths and weaknesses of your marriage, and allow her to help you with God's word to say, identify if there are any principles. There may not be, but how sad it is if there's that 10% of the marriage and you're not working on that. Humility, as you express that to your husband, can have a tremendous impact on him. And even if it doesn't, you are still doing the right thing, because God says in Acts 24:16, as Paul says, I take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and toward men. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much for that wonderful question. God bless you.
Thank you.
And you know what? There's, Steve and Cindy, our hearts go out to people who truly want to love their husband, or situations I've had recently where wives have left husbands, and it makes it very difficult to love someone who's not there.
It is.
And I wonder if we could just have a brief prayer of just asking God to help Shirley and others. Mm-hmm. Lord God, we just ask that you would be with Shirley right now. You would encourage her in the faith. Help her to do everything she can to live a life of godliness. And we pray, God, that you'd bring her husband back soon. And for everyone who's listening that has a difficult situation like this, that they would be careful to take the log out of their own eye so they can see clearly how to help their spouse. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Stan and Cindy, so much. This was extremely helpful. Tomorrow we'll look forward to hearing Cindy talk about teaching women to love their husbands. So I hope you'll take some time and invite a friend to be with us here at Return. Don't forget this wonderful book, The Exemplary Husband, by Dr. Stuart Scott, for a gift of $20 or more here to Return to the Word. And you can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape or CD entitled Teaching Men to Love Their Wives by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And you can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow at the same time here on Return to the Word. Return to the Word is a ministry of Life Fellowship, a family Bible church, and counseling center.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.